Well, last week we started a new series looking at the church, and we looked at the church in Israel, and we looked at the covenant that God made with Abraham and then with Moses at Mount Sinai. We looked at how Israel did not follow the promise, the covenant that they promised to follow. And instead, they disobeyed God. And at the end, we looked at the promise of a new covenant that God was going to make with Israel, with all people. And I think I might have told you that this week we're going to look at the new covenant. But before we get to the new covenant, we are going to this week spend some time on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We'll look at the new covenant next week. This morning we're going to look at the church and Jesus Christ. So if we remember that Jesus, or that in the Old Testament they were promised a new covenant, but that was not the only thing that they were promised, and it wasn't really the thing they were primarily looking forward to. The primary thing that they were looking for was the promised Messiah. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Malachi 3:1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And then Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And we could spend most of the morning just reading scriptures of the prophecies about the coming Messiah. That's what Israel was looking for. They were looking for their Messiah, the one who is going to save them, the one who is going to be their king. Well, he came. John 1:35 through 42 says, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked. He said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to be translated, "teacher, where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak," this is John the Baptist, "John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated "the Christ." "And he brought him to Jesus." Again in John chapter 4, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.'" This is at the woman at the well in Samaria. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you, Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So, the Messiah was promised. The Messiah came. But he was not received. The children of Israel did not receive Jesus as their Messiah. Instead, he was rejected by his own. He was rejected by his own people. And we see that that was prophesied in Psalm 22, 16 through 18. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet, I can count all my bones, they look and stare at me, they divide my garments among them and cast lots, and cast for my clothing they cast lots. And then Isaiah 53, 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And unfortunately, that came to fruition in passages like Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 27. In Luke 10, Jesus is actually speaking a warning. He says, Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Here he's talking about these towns. He's actually about ready to send the 70 in to go out and to minister to the surrounding area. But the reality is, in many of the places that he went, they didn't really want to follow him. They just wanted him to do miracles. They wanted him to do things that would make them feel good. But actually turning away from their sins and following him. Nope. Matthew 27, 19 through 25 says, While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. So the governor had a feast, and it was tradition that he would bring out somebody to be released. Kind of a pardon, if you will. And so Pilate gave him a choice. He brought out Barabbas, which was a thief, criminal, everybody hated him, just a low-down, miserable, no-good person. And then he brought out Jesus. And his thought was, Barabbas is so bad, they'll choose Jesus. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with the Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. And they all answered, Crucify him. Why? "What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water, he washed his hands in front of the crowd, and he said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He said, "It is your responsibility." And all of the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Don't ever say that, by the way. This is a pastoral advice. Not really a great commitment to make. The people did not receive Jesus as their Messiah. They rejected him. But, as it turns out, irony of all ironies, God knew that would happen. And he used that rejection as the foundation of the blessing of all mankind. Excuse me. Hebrews 9:27 through 28 says, "As it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Because Jesus was rejected as the Messiah for the Jews, he was crucified, and he became the Redeemer of all mankind. Through the rejection of Israel, or through Israel's rejection of Christ, we now have a path by which we can know God, by which we can be saved, by which we can be blessed. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That was the plan the whole time. The plan the whole time was for Jesus to go down, to be rejected by his own people, to give us an opportunity to know the truth. Because Israel would not fulfill its responsibility. They wouldn't obey God. God wanted them to be the light of the world, right? A special nation. We talked about that last week. A nation of priests who were to go out into the world and be the light to bring all people to God. They didn't do that. And God set them aside. And through the death of his Son, he made it possible for salvation to come to the Gentiles. Philippians 2:5-11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is by your will that Jesus came and died on the cross. but it is because of our sin. And so, Lord, while we wonder in awe at your majesty, at your love, your grace, and your mercy, let us not forget, Lord, to humble ourselves, to remember that we are the ones that needed to be saved. We were the ones for which you came. It wasn't because we were special that you died on the cross, but it's because you were special that you demonstrated your love for us. So, Lord, as we consider this, as we consider your relationship to the church in the coming weeks, Lord, as we consider your ultimate plan of salvation, I pray that we would not forget to remember to be humble. That we would not forget to remember the importance of dying to self, of forgiveness, of forgiving others, of mercy, of grace. It's the foundation of everything. And Lord, we thank you so much that you were the first. You reached into our world. You came to us. And you made the way. Lord, I pray that we would follow your example. Not only would we follow you, but Lord, in our own life, we would reach out to others and we would make the way. Give us that strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.